running to a chariot, reading from a prophet, and reacting to the teaching of Christ. It's a great account of Scripture as we talk about conversion to Christ. Today, from the International Gospel Hour, stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. We're so glad you've decided to listen to our program today. In a world of challenges, we need God's Word to help us face those challenges. Thank you for joining us in this period of Bible study with our speaker, Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour, a broadcast of the Churches of Christ. So let's listen today. Here's Jeff.
Well, greetings and hello, everyone. Great to have you with us today for our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. We've been on the air since 1934, and we're grateful to have you with us today. We would not have International Gospel Hour without an audience such as you. We appreciate and treasure every listener, and we're thankful that you've tuned in today. We also appreciate our Jay Webb, whom you will hear throughout our broadcast, as we share a lot of free material and various links for you to pursue in your study of the Word of God. And we are blessed for you, our listeners, as you desire to pursue truth and to know that truth, as Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. In verse 32, we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And such is sought with an honest heart and diligent search. It was 1995 that Winford Claiborne became the voice of International Gospel Hour. And that was his 52nd year of preaching, and after a successful work as an instructor in Bible at then Fried Hardeman College. Truly, Brother Claiborne proved that one is never too old to venture into something new. God has a plan for all His children. So today I reach into our archives and bring forth a lesson from Brother Winford titled, Understanding Conversion in the Bible. We will begin in a moment, but first, a few words from our Jay Webb.
Streaming television content is quickly growing, and with that said, check out our friends at World Video Bible School. Their website is wvbs.org. Between listening to us here at International Gospel Hour, check out over 2,400 videos and get this, enroll in their online school and work at your own pace absolutely free. That's wvbs.org. Again, that's wvbs.org.
Dr. D.A. Carson, one of America's most influential evangelical theologians, edited a book with the title Telling the Truth. In the book, Telling the Truth, there is one chapter, Communicating Sin in a Postmodern World, by Dr. Mark Dever. I found this paragraph in Dr. Dever's chapter very disturbing. He writes, "For help in understanding the idea of conversion in the Bible, read John 3 and 4, Romans 5 and Ephesians 2, John Owen's treatise, The Dominion of Sin and Grace, and J.C. Ryle's Holiness could both be helpful. Will Metzger has written an excellent book that shows how the truth should affect our evangelism, Tell the Truth, and J.L. Packer has sorted out many a young student through his little volume, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. Wilde's The Portrait of Dorian Gray and C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader both present dramatic personal changes that could provide the impetus for serious conversation." Page 150. I have to ask you one question which was suggested to my mind by the reading of this paragraph. Where is the book of Acts, the inspired book of conversions, in this recommendation about understanding conversion in the Bible? Why did not Dr. Dever talk about the many conversions recorded in the book of Acts? All of the Bible chapters he mentioned are very significant. But would it not have been more appropriate had he chosen to recommend that people read Acts of the Apostles along with the other Bible chapters he listed? Where would you begin to explain to people the meaning of conversion in the Bible? Dr. Dever recommended John 3 and 4, Romans 5 and Ephesians 2. All of these chapters are tremendously helpful in our understanding of conversion in the Bible. I shall read brief excerpts from these recommendations. Our Lord explained to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 5, and verses 16 and 17. Paul provides a wonderful basis for the meaning of conversion. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5, 6-10. Dr. Dever also recommended Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8-9. I am not saying Dr. Dever makes this error, but many Calvinist preachers quote Ephesians 2, 8-9, but ignore verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. If we have to walk in good works, does that not disprove the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone? Please notice also what Paul told Titus. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus 3, verse 8. The passages Dr. Mark Dever recommended are of tremendous importance. They furnish fundamental ideas about the meaning of conversion in the Bible. But not one explains how to become a Christian. Should we not study carefully all of the conversions and acts of the apostles and then pattern our behavior after those conversions? We would profit greatly by studying all those conversions, but I shall concentrate in this study on the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. It is my deep conviction that the record of the Ethiopian eunuch's conversion is the simplest of all the stories of conversion in Acts. It seems to me it would take considerable help not to understand this beautiful conversion. I need to mention briefly in passing that the eunuch almost certainly was a black man. Most Ethiopians are black people. This ought to give us the motivation to reach out to all people everywhere, regardless of color or race or national origin or any other consideration. In the words of the beautiful old hymn, the gospel is for all. God had used Philip the evangelist to preach Christ to the Samaritans. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Whether the eunuch was a black man who converted to Judaism, or a Jew, we cannot know for sure. Neither is it essential to our understanding of his conversion. The Ethiopian was returning to his home, sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. Luke records Philip's reaction to the Spirit's instructions. And Philip ran thither, or immediately to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? Acts 8, 28-30. This you can know absolutely. The conversion of one soul is of eternal consequence. Philip understood that and ran to the eunuch's chariot in compliance with the Holy Spirit's instructions. When Philip asked the Ethiopian if he understood what he was reading, he responded, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Luke tells us what the eunuch was reading. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Acts 8:32-33. This passage is from Isaiah 53:7-8. The eunuch asked Philip, "I pray you, of whom does this prophet speak this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this same scripture, that is Isaiah 53:7-8, and preached unto him Jesus, Acts 8:34-35. What a wonderful place to begin teaching a person about Jesus Christ. In his beautiful little volume, The Book of Isaiah, Dr. George L. Robinson comments on the passage from Isaiah. The profoundest thoughts of the Old Testament revelation are to be found in this section. It is a vindication of the servant, so clear and so true, and brought out with such pathos and potency that it holds first place in messianic prophecy. So far as fact and accuracy of the scriptures are concerned, it might well have been composed after the tragedy of Calvary. Polycarp called it the golden passional of the Old Testament, pages 145 and 146. Many of the great truths regarding Jesus Christ appear prophetically in Isaiah 53. Notice that Isaiah said, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth." Do you remember how John the Baptist spoke of Jesus? The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," John 1:29. The Apostle Peter also used the figure of a lamb in referring to Christ. "Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot," 1 Peter 1:18-19. We have no way of knowing what Philip preached about Jesus. We have some indication because of his use of Isaiah 53, but we cannot know exactly what he said. Could he have told the eunuch what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? On the birthday of the church, the Apostle Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. This we know. Philip preached those great truths the eunuch needed to know to become a child of God. We also know where he can find those truths in the scriptures. In Acts 8:36, the Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" Based on this reading, I have a question for you to consider. Where did the eunuch learn about baptism? There is one thing for sure. He did not learn about it in the reading from Isaiah 53. Is it possible that preaching Christ must include baptism? If you remember, when Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans, they believed and were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8:12. How is it possible to preach Christ and not preach baptism? As you no doubt remember, Jesus Christ began his ministry by being baptized at the hands of John. "Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me, or comest thou to me?' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and, lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and, lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Matthew 3:13-17. Not only did Jesus begin his personal ministry by being baptized at the hands of John the Baptist, he completed his work on earth by charging the apostles, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the age," Matthew 28:19-20. I must also read the Great Commission according to Mark. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned, Mark 16:15-16. When Philip preached Christ to the Ethiopian, did he preach these truths about Christ? We have no way of knowing, nor is it vital to our understanding of this great conversion, but when Philip and the eunuch came to a certain water, the alien sinner, not the preacher, asked about baptism. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, that is, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. I am fully aware that the Ethiopian's confession does not appear in some of the best manuscripts. But he had to make a confession or else Philip would not have baptized him. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. The Ethiopian had to confess in some way or Philip would not have known to baptize him. Besides, the Apostle Paul told the Roman Christians, but if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Upon his confession of faith in Jesus Christ, Philip the evangelist baptized the eunuch. Acts 8:38 records, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Have you ever wondered why they both went down into the water? Could it be that baptism is always immersion? Sprinkling and pouring do not qualify as New Testament baptism. There is not one passage that even hints at such. The word baptism means immersion. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea, Acts 8:39-40. Why was the eunuch rejoicing? Did he realize his sins were forgiven, that he was added to the Lord's church, and that he was on his way to heaven? If that does not give a person reason for rejoicing, what would it take? I need to summarize briefly what we have learned from this story in the great book of conversions. For conversion to occur, there has to be the preaching of the word. Paul told the Romans, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That is also the reason Jesus commanded his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. One of our great hymns affirms, unless they hear, they cannot live. The gospel is for all. We know we must believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. The Apostle Paul wrote, he who believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he who believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, John 3:36. The second use of the word believe in this verse is a mistranslation, as you can confirm from almost any other translation than the King James Version. The English Standard Version renders the Greek, whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whosoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. As you can understand from this verse, faith only is not a Bible doctrine. We must believe, but our faith must lead us to obey. The author of Hebrews makes that very plain. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Saul of Tarsus believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of his sins. He was then ready to obey the Lord in baptism. God sent the preacher Ananias to tell Saul what he had to do. Ananias asked, why are you waiting? He then admonished Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about his baptism and theirs. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. I shall close our study today with a few brief observations. While I believe in reading good books, when it comes to what we tell people to do to be saved, there really is only one book, the Word of the Almighty God. How can anyone overlook the book of Acts? It is so easy to preach the gospel of Christ when we take all the Word of God and His Word seriously. We do not have to strain passages in order to convert people to Christ. As I mentioned earlier in this lesson, the gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. We must preach the Word, all of the Word, and only the Word. Friends, if you are not a Christian, I urge you to study carefully the records of the great conversions in Acts of the Apostles. You cannot go wrong when you imitate what the Jews did on the day of Pentecost, what the Samaritans did to become Christians, and what Paul himself obeyed to be forgiven and to be added to the Lord's church. May God help all of us to do His will from the heart. Dear friends, what a blessing to study once again with Brother Winford Claiborne. And Brother Claiborne brings forth some interesting thoughts, biblical thoughts, as we simply go back to the book of Acts to see the conversions therein. And as Brother Claiborne so adequately worded years ago, it's good to read books, but the best book of conversion and the best book to tell us what we need to do in order to be saved is the Bible itself. I'm going to pause and defer now to our J. Webb, because as we offer on our broadcast a variety of study materials, we are blessed, and I guess you could call it the old-fashioned way, but it still works well. We have a Bible correspondence course available by mail. That's right, friends. You don't need the internet to take the test. You don't need the internet to request. You can go there and submit your request to us, but you can also call us, well, shall I say, the old-fashioned way. Here is our J-Webb with those details, and I'll be back with a few more words.
Our well-received Bible study course by mail is available to everyone absolutely free. Would you like to try it? All you do is call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say home study. That's it. That's all you have to do. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type home study in the message box. At your own pace, you can study the Bible in your own home. Again, it's free. Give it a try, and it's from your friends here at International Gospel Hour.
And friends, we appreciate Jay's good words, and we would love to send that study offer to you. Everything that we offer from the International Gospel Hour is absolutely free, and we want to share any type of material with you that we can. As a matter of fact, it's always a joy to study from the wonderful book of conversions, the book of Acts. So you may want to look there in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9 and 22, the conversion of Saul. What a wonderful book, the book of Acts. And now, friends, I want to pause once again because we will lead you to our website. And we have previous broadcasts that are available there. But also you can use our website for any other research you wish to do or if you'd like to submit a question to us. We want to pause and go to our J-Web once again, and we'll share with you about previous broadcasts from International Gospel Hour, and I'll be right back.
Hello, friends. Please know that any previous broadcasts from the International Gospel Hour are available at our website, internationalgospelhour.com, and also available on several podcast platforms. Maybe we're on your favorite podcast site. Just search for International Gospel Hour, and you can find previous broadcasts. They're always there 24/7 for you to listen or even to download. And now, let's continue our study.
And again, friends, that's internationalgospelhour.com. Now, friends, let's think about today, along with our great study in turning back the clock and studying with Brother Claiborne about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. We have, for your availability, if you go online, you can go to WVBS.org or the WorldVideoBibleSchool.org. You can also receive our Bible course by mail. When you go to our website, if you'd like to send us that information, click on the Contact tab. And again, our website is internationalgospelhour.com. We are blessed to make a variety of materials absolutely free for your perusal. We receive requests from folks around the world requesting material or a guide to studies, and we try to help individuals all that we can as we are, well, international, the International Gospel Hour. We're grateful for wherever you hear our broadcast. And if you would not mind, as we conclude, if you could give us a call at 855-444-6988 and just let us know where you heard our broadcast today, that's all. If you want any of the things we requested, we'll be glad to fill them, but if not, we would love to hear where you have listened to our broadcast. Just call 855-444-6988 or send us an email at info@internationalgospelhour.com and just say, I heard your broadcast on, and let us know where you heard our broadcast. Again, we treasure every listener, and we're thankful that we can study the Word of God with you. We are under the oversight of the elders of the West Fayetteville Church of Christ in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee, 37334. We'll continue our studies at another time, but for now, thanks for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour broadcast. I'm Jeff Archie, and friends, as always, keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. To God goes all the glory, and we hope that our study today will draw you closer to His Word to walk in His way. To listen to it again or our other broadcasts, please visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you.